Well, if you've got a Bible, it would be good for you to have it open as I'm going to speak this morning on this Christmas day from this prophecy of Haggai, which was given for the benefit of the people. Just to give you a bit of background, for those of you who would like to know, people often, I've said this recently, people are often worried about the authenticity of the Bible. You only have to go and check your history books about the restoration of the temple. The whole point was that Haggai was saying to that ancient people, do any of you remember the glory of the first temple? Those who doubt the Bible, go to your history books and just look at the destruction of that temple. The people taken away in AD 70 into captivity. Then King Cyrus says, go back to your land. Build that temple again. And that's what this is about. And of course, it becomes obvious if you read the passage which I read. The new temple that they're building is going to have a greater glory than the old one. How so? Impossible for the new, broken down bit of a temple to be more glorious than the one that Solomon built. Impossible. And yet, Haggai says, it will be more glorious. And so it's that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Well, on Wednesday night, I had the great privilege again of going to witness the extraordinary Handel's Messiah. What a wonderful thing. They are chartered in music. The story of the Messiah prophesied throughout the Old Testament. And then he is born and he dies and is raised from the dead and ascends to heaven. And Handel gives us it all. If you want to hear the scripture sung, you won't find it any better. And then eventually there he is, the Lamb, in all of his glory. And it's performed every year at Christmas time and at Easter. If you've never heard any of it, perhaps you can buy it on a CD and you can listen to it. You'll be greatly affected by it, I'm quite sure. If there is anything in the world that can match it, that can get any near, that's come out of the roots of the glory of the Christian gospel, I'd like to see it. It is extraordinary. And it greatly touched me once more. Well, the first part of the Messiah that I listened to, part of it was taken from these very verses that we have in Haggai chapter 2 and the 6th verse. Here, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And there it was, it erupted in sound and music. It was extraordinary. Once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. A direct quotation from this passage in Haggai. The prophet Haggai had been sent by the Lord to this ancient people, the Jews, so miserable at that time, to their situation, saying to them, your situation will not last forever. The assurances which God had given to the forefathers, they would come true. The God of promise would hold his promise, would keep his promise. And I would say to all of you, just as he came to those ancient Jews, he comes today and he says in exactly the same way, the promises which I make are yea and amen in Christ. They will be fulfilled. They may be believed in. You may not be interested even for a moment, but I ask you, I beg you to concentrate. His promises will hold good, and some point in your life you will need to turn and think about God and ask yourself, do I need to recall the promises of God? You may do so this morning, some of you, and you may say that there is a change for the better. Yes, because God in those ancient times with that ancient people, he said that there would be a change for the better, and that change for the better did come. God is not false. He is not slow in keeping his promises. What he promised would be fulfilled. And the prophet came to strengthen that people so that those who did believe in God, who would hold on to his promises, might have hope. And anybody who's read even a little bit of the Old Testament will realize that it is full of promise, of redemption, of God reaching down, of coming to that people to meet them in their deepest plight and in their need. I take it for granted that not everyone knows the scripture. And I'm not teaching, as the expression goes, I'm not teaching you to suck eggs and telling you what you already know. But some of you may not know this, that the prophet Malachi, who you can also read in this part of the Bible, he says this: I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So prophet after prophet, they were all saying the same thing. They were speaking, they were pointing to a great and a glorious better day. Not a temple built by human hands, but something more wonderful than that. And if you look at the text for yourselves, the prophet had said in a little while or shortly. In other words, they were to put their hope in something. In a little while, shortly, this will come to pass. And I suppose this is what every parent has been telling the young children for weeks and months. In a little while. Christmas is not coming yet, but it will come. In a little while, it will come. And as the days got nearer, it's coming. Christmas is coming. In a little while, soon, it will be here. In a short time. And it gave them hope. And this day is realized, it is before them. And so it was with the Jews. God said, in a little while, in a short time. It gave them hope, of course it did. And hope helps to dismiss despair. And anybody who says hope's of no use, of course hope is of great use. It plays a big part in our own psychology. It is terribly important. Are there any of you this morning, even at Christmas, there must be people around the world who despair. There is hope in the glory of the Christian gospel. And this was to be made to be felt by these Jews in their greatest need. For the children who felt that this big day was so far away, yet it has been realized. We have come to our day and the promise has come to fruition. And so was it for these people. God gave this despairing people hope that there would be a day when he would come and his promises would be fulfilled. I just say to all of you, don't despair that it says in a little while, in a short time. It's very rare that God's promises come just at the click of a finger, but they come in a short time, in a little while. And notice what it is that comes in a short time. It's not what they expected. No, indeed not. No. I wonder if it's what we expect when we think about the Christian gospel. Here it is. I will shake the heavens and the earth. The Lord is saying this. There is a place to be given to hope, but that hope is in the shaking of the heavens and the earth. I'll shake the heavens and the earth. If you think of your own predicament, whatever it might be this morning, think of it like this. God has the power to shake the heavens and the earth. Then he's got the power to shake the circumstances and the situation that belongs to your life. If he could shake that world, then he can shake our circumstances today. And I comfort myself to think of the power of Almighty God. He can shake the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everything that belongs within it. And when heaven, as it were, gave way to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came into our world, then surely the heavens and the earth were shaken at the coming of God's dear Son. That's what Haggai is pointing to that great and glorious day when the earth would be shaken. Hasn't the earth been shaken by the Christian gospel? Or are we so rooted in our disaffection for Christ that we can't even see the truth that Christ has shaken the world? Of course he has shaken the world. He's shaken it to its core. Not perhaps in the way that we would have liked or expected, but he has done. And he is still shaking it today. He is still shaking lives, individuals, families, people throughout the world, communities. He is still doing his work. You might be shocked when I say this, but when the heavens got a sight of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were so shaken that the book of Revelation tells us that it shook the devil himself. So extraordinary was the work of God sending his dear Son. The idea, friends, is like this. It's a seismic power of extraordinary proportions. The text says, on the land and on the sea. When I was a student in London, I went to a church where invariably it worked like this. As I went at the end of the holiday time, the students who were from that church were going away to university in different places. And so there were people you never got to meet, you only got to hear about them. And I remember a young man whose name was Andrew, like my name. And he had been brought up in the home of one of the elders. All of his life he had heard the Christian gospel preached. All of his life he had been persuaded by his dad to come to the Saviour. But he had turned his back upon the gospel. He'd said, I've had enough of that church shaking me. I've had enough of my dad trying to shake me and speak to me about Christ. And so he went away to sea. That's the place to go to. Get into the middle of the ocean. Get away forever. Get to that place and they'll never be able to touch you. He was serving on HMS Ark Royal. And then one day, lo and behold, in the middle of the ocean, someone told him the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the news came back to the church, Andrew has been saved. The Lord has saved him by his grace. You're not safe on the earth from the shaking of the Lord. And you're not safe in the middle of the ocean from the shaking of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he shakes it. And that includes the seas as well. Do you notice in the passage that we're reading? It says, I will shake all nations. Do you remember when Jesus was born? His coming shook Herod to his core, the king. And all Jerusalem, it says, was disturbed. And I just want to leave this thought with you, that when Jesus comes, he brings disturbance. I hadn't thought of this. I had thought it would be Jesus meek and mild and everything would be so off pattern, so perfect, a rose garden. No, when he comes, he brings disturbance. This is what so many cannot comprehend about Christianity. They want it to be so neatly packaged. Have you sung that carol? You must have done. Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. What nonsense. What utter nonsense. Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. This is to give us a Christianity that has nothing to do with the truth of the one who is revealed. The one who comes is revealed to us as the living God who has taken on flesh and shakes the earth. Doesn't that shake you to your core to think about it? He made a disturbance. I will shake all nations, not just Jerusalem. Not just Israel, not just Judea. But as you read the Acts of the Apostles, when Jesus has returned to heaven, the word to the apostles is this: you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God was in Christ and he was going to move the world. And so it is no surprise to me that throughout the world still the Lord Jesus Christ is shaking people and moving them. How would he reach people? By sweet talking them? No. He moves them by shaking them. So I only ask this. If he moves people by shaking them, do you need him to shake you? Do you need a good shaking? I tried to picture the average family this morning. There I was in bed, about 7 o'clock. This is absolute bliss. I remember those Christmas mornings. Maybe 4, 4:30, 5 o'clock. Christmas is here! The children come running in to Coverto's parents. They don't tiptoe in. Oh no, there's no peaceful protocol with children on Christmas Day morning. No, there's no whispering, there's none of that. They've got almost the veritable power to wake the dead on Christmas Day morning. And in they come and they make noise and they disturb us. They disturb the bedroom peace, they disturb the bed, they disturb the bedroom, they disturb the house, they disturb everything. That is it. They shake us. I remember it vividly. Boy, am I glad they've gone. They would shake us. And it tells us that our salvation, if we are to have salvation, cannot be of our doing, but it must be of God, and it will take him to shake us. This church can't do it. This man can't do it, but God can, and that's why he came at Christmas to shake our lives. This Christmas, is it possible that any of us have fallen into a stupor? Because of all that's been sold to us of the world's Christmas, this message comes this morning to shake us, to tell us the truth about what Christ's coming was all about. And I hope that you can all see, those of you who have experienced the shaking this morning, get up, Dad, get up, Mom, that it is a forcible act. And it needs a forcible act on the part of Almighty God to come and shake us. I know that there are some people here who've been in major car accidents and by the grace of God have survived. It's wonderful that you can live to tell the story. But everyone who's been in a car crash of a significant kind is shaken up in mind and body, and I suspect even in the spirit, because we've been confronted with our mortality, and the convulsions which have come upon us have shaken us to the very core of our beings. Friends, that's what God does in the Christian gospel. Christ comes to shake us to the core of our being. And though you might like it all to look so neatly packaged, so very nicely observed, God's work is quite different. He comes to shake up our lives. When Jesus came, for certain, as it were, the heavens shook as the bodies of heaven longed to look into what was happening. The violent shaking of mankind has gone on ever since. He came 2,000 years ago. And is it not a violent shaking if I say to you now, I'm being kind, that he comes to your conscience? This is not Andrew. This is not Trinity Evangelical Church. You have a conscience. It exists. You can't get away from it. And he may come to shake your conscience, to shake you in such a way that he alerts you to the dreadful condition of your sinfulness, to alert you to the fact that life does not go on, it will end, and we must leave this world. God comes to shake us, to bring us back to our senses, to bring life back into us. How many people do you think that there must have been, I don't recommend it, where people have fallen ill, and in desperation, the family have shaken that person and shaken them and shaken them to try to bring them back to life. Live, come back to life. Don't die, live. How many people must have been shaken and yet there was no life? Nothing. The glory of the Christian message is that when God shakes us, the seismic power of it is that the old edifice crumbles and the cracks appear, but God remakes a new one. Adam's likeness is effaced. He stamps a new image in its place. The new Adam, the second Adam, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God, for myself anyway, that I belong to the nations that God has reached out to. And he has shaken me and brought new life by his dear Son. He would do this for every one of us. This is why he came. This is why we have Christmas. It is one of the, perhaps the most wonderful time of the year, if it's treated properly. It's our job here at Trinity Evangelical Church, without any apologies, to preach the gospel. I make no apologies ever that on Christmas Day we press home the question of the reason why Christ really came. I'm going to finish. It's a shorter message because it's Christmas Day. You can all go home and have a great time together, families. But I just want to draw to your attention the last part of what I wanted to say here. If you look at the text, this is what the Lord Almighty says: in a little while, it will take a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. God knows that the deepest, deepest desire of all of his creatures is the yearning for meaning, for answers, for life itself. The desire is not the desire of Israel, not the desire of a few people. Oh no, it's the desire of all nations. This is why when I'm ever I get a chance to witness to people, I say Christ has it all. He's got it all. He can answer every single need that every one of us has. In life, you're going to go on yearning. The desire will never, ever go away. It will always stay with you. It will never, ever be met until it is met by the one who came to us at what we call Christmas. And he can meet it. What a relief. For someone like me, this church can't meet it. This man can't meet it. But Christ can. And that's why we come and say this. The best thing that could happen to any one of us at Christmas would be if he shook us to the core. And he came to our lives, convicted us of our sin. And we would seek him because he would receive anyone who would come to him. He's the desire, ultimately, of all nations. My trust is that out of all the desires that you would have this Christmas, that he might be your first desire. Oh, may God bless his word to us. Give us all a very happy Christmas time. Enjoy, boys and girls, enjoy. Amen.